Jesus. There is no power in Steve's name. There's no power in the name of Graham. But the power is in the name of Jesus. I give him glory. And before I get too far, Lord, we just want to lift up this day to you. Father, I want to thank you, Father, as we acknowledge your presence in this house. We acknowledge the victory that you won at the cross. We acknowledge that you did the will of the Father in going to the cross and defeating sin and death. We acknowledge that you rose again in new life. And we acknowledge that you sent your Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us and to strengthen us, to be our helper. And Lord, we give you praise today as we open our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes to hear and to see what you would have to say in this house. And Lord, we acknowledge you, Jesus, above every other name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. What a great place to be. Welcome there, everyone online. It's lovely to have you with us. And I will, I'm getting better at this. I'm remembering to keep on track and online, and it's lovely. Pastor Julie, welcome back. Graham, welcome back. It's lovely to have you in the house with us today. It's been an amazing couple of weeks while you've been away, but it's lovely to have you back as well. And it's always a good thing. Gary and Michelle, it's lovely to see you guys. If my heart's glad that you're here, then God's heart is too, all right? And it's lovely. For the rest of you in the house, it's wonderful. Now, I've asked Gene to do something really tricky for me. It's actually part of my message today, but it's also a little bit of nostalgia. Is last week I was talking with Wayne a little bit, and we got to speaking about the fishing industry in Batemans Bay, and that there used to be around 40 little trawlers worked out of Batemans Bay. That was a fairly significant part of what happened in Batemans Bay. But then just after that, Eileen Thompson says to me, she said, I remember that. She said, I used to go out with Mick Barber on the Shady Lady and catch prawns. And I went, okay, well, that fits in with my message today, because the name of my message today is don't go back to your fishing, all right? The message is don't go back to your fishing, all right? This is just a little bit of lightheartedness. This is a little bit of family movie. Is, you know, you didn't think you'd come to church to see the family slides and the family movie, did you? All right. But just for the next couple of minutes, if we can have it up there, Gene, that'd be great. There's a little bit of commentary that I'll give to it. I'm sorry Eileen's not with us this morning, because I'm going to point out the Shady Lady as it goes past. So thanks. This is the beginning. This is daylight. Very civilized fishermen they were. At 7 o'clock of the morning, we'd all line up across the river. We're just opposite Perry's Mill at the time. And at 7 o'clock, the mill whistle would sound. There's the Shady Lady. So Eileen, if you're watching, and all right. But all these little boats at 7 o'clock, the mill that's in the background there would sound its whistle. All the little boats would race out of the river, out around to Long Beach, and. My dad's little boat was so small, it couldn't keep up with these ones. So what we used to do is we'd sneak out across the sandbar and we'd follow Danny Shepherd there, and we're actually sneaking across the sandbar through the waves, and that'd nearly get us to the prawn ground ahead of the other boats. All right, nearly. All right, they'd have to go the long way, we'd go the short way. But, you know, we just could never beat them there, all right? It just didn't happen. So that's my dad, and we're actually now out at Long Beach. This is a man named Richard Manson, who's still working in Batemans Bay. These little boats operate on a regular basis, catching school prawns out in the bay. Jackie Shepherd's boat behind. See the day here that we're in at the moment. Okay, lovely calm day, beautiful day. A bit like a lot of our lives. You know, we have calm days, nice days. Hang on to that thought. This is my grandfather. This is Mum's father. He's sorting prawns out of all the other stuff that comes up with the prawns. And you can see there that it was always good fun. There was plenty of things that bite in there, like crabs, bull routes. Shady lady again. That's it's a little winch that my dad had made for his boat. It's made from a differential of an Morris Oxford. So we were really highly, you know, advanced back in those days. Now, understanding this is just towards, the beginning of the 60s. This is the same day. Notice the sea now, a little bit different. Our lives are a bit like that, aren't they? We have calm days and we have stormy days. All right? And you can see there the storm starting to come in. Royce would love that. The boats sailing around on the bay would love that. This was the reason we went out onto that prawn ground, was to catch prawns. And didn't seem like much, but we might, you know, get 20 or 30 kilos a day. And that's actually on the back deck of the boat shed. It's a little different today. Our little old hire boats there that we used to operate. And these prawns have been green ones earlier, cooked now. And this was one of the rewards if you went fishing and did your day's work. Now you got to actually eat a few. And was good thing was I married Rosie. She didn't like prawns and that sort of stuff. So, and this lovely old man, this is Arch Hamilton, just enjoying the fruit of the labour for the day. That's an auntie, and everyone seems to enjoy, you know, the fruit of your labours, don't they? So, just a little bit of history there, Wayno. We were talking about that last week. That was some of the boats that worked out of the bay. Now, just a quick question. Is there anyone in here that's like me that would desire that their prayer life got way out of this world? Is there anyone in this room that would love that every time you walked into a place that the scriptures just flick to you, right? Is there anyone in this house that would love just to be able to open this and dissect it and have it come to you and just have it just, you know, just flow out? Is that, like you, that's my desire. But, you know, I think where we've been robbed a little bit is that we began in the Spirit. We were saved by a supernatural power. We were saved by what God did in seeking us out, drawing us to Him, and then by the work He did in the supernatural, by the Spirit, He brought us to salvation. But along the way, is what happens to us is we get drawn back to the natural. We get drawn back into operating no longer in the supernatural, but in our natural. And for me, as I continued to look at this word and to study it and find out about it, is that I desire so much and I keep throwing my efforts at it, but my efforts don't add to anything. Because, see, I'm operating in a supernatural world, but with my natural effort. And what I want to speak to you about today is going on in the supernatural. All right? Is that Jules has been speaking today about prayer. Elizabeth came and just brought a message here just a sec ago in the Word about being in the strength and the power in God. Okay? It is His strength. It is His power. It has nothing to do with us. Now, don't get me wrong. Our natural abilities are great things. But the natural flows out of the supernatural. We have to start becoming people that operate in the supernatural. All right? Then the natural will flow out of that. If you just turn with me, if you would, is that I just want to go to Matthew 6. And we'll see what Jesus says. Do you see if you agree with me here? And why do you worry about clothes? This is Matthew 6, and my glasses are getting a bit older, but I reckon it looks like about 28 or 29, all right? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? All the natural things that we need. He knows we need all of these things. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So what do you think Jesus is saying to us here in that scripture? Okay, is he saying to us, listen, I created you, I gave you abilities, and I want you to go and depend on them? I don't think that's what he's saying to us. I think what he's saying to us is, I have all authority, I have all power, I have all strength. If you will seek me, and you will seek me diligently, then I will be found, and I have the answers that you need. I have the strength and the power and the authority to do all that you have. And for this church, and for the Church of Christ worldwide, if we're going to see what the world needs happen in all over the world, is that we need the authority and the power of God. We don't need natural effort. We need supernatural power. We need the power of God to go and draw the people, to bring them to salvation. We need his Holy Spirit moving, his Holy Spirit working. So where does that leave us? All right? I know I frustrate Dennis when I say, you know, don't lean in our natural understanding. Don't lean in our natural gifts. I encourage you in those. They come out of the supernatural. But we have, each one of us, all right, have been called firstly in the Spirit. Firstly, we were called in the Spirit. Now we're called to continue in the Spirit. All right, let's turn over into Colossians and verse 3 in Colossians. And it's a really good little book. Yeah, 3. Isn't it always hard to find when you want it? I haven't got enough of them little sticky things, you know, foldy things in the thing. And it says now in Colossians 3 and verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I think there's a little hint there. Let's turn back into Galatians. And Paul gives us this warning in Galatians. And he says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Again, in the third chapter. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? And then he goes on to speak there that we began in the Spirit, but now we're moving back into the natural, into the things we want to happen. I'm going to encourage you today that our prayer life will improve as we seek God and his authority and his power. All right? He is the one that will move, because he delights in prayer. If his Holy Spirit fills us and we start to operate in the Spirit, then we cannot help but pray, because the Holy Spirit in us will want to do that, all right? The Holy Spirit in us will want to open his word and read it and proclaim it, put it out there. All right? Our role is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, submit our will, all right? No longer your will. Don't worry about what you're going to do tomorrow by you trying to get up and you trying to pray and you trying to read. Submit your will to the will of the Father and it will come to pass. Now, how does that happen? How does the supernatural happen? I've got no idea, all right? That's why it's called supernatural. I'm a natural man, all right, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, but I have no clue. And I want you now is have a think about my message for today about going back to your fishing. Is if we turn to the book of John and the last chapter of the book of John. Now, understanding this is that, would you agree with me that the disciples spent a bit of time with Jesus? All right? Do you think they got to see some things happen? Do you think they could explain everything that happened in that they saw? All right? The supernatural is unexplainable. Miracles occur, all right? Can you explain it? No, that's why it's supernatural. That's God's authority. That's his domain, all right? I can't explain it to you. I don't think the disciples even could explain it. But here in this, have a look at this, is these men now have walked with Jesus. They've come to acknowledge him, accept him. Before I kick off, Sandra brought a great message last week. In that message, Sandra spoke about the fact of prophecy, of the things that were written about hundreds, thousands of years ago and things like that. I'm just going to flick to a different scripture just quickly. In the book of John, at the beginning, Jesus says to his disciples, he's going out to choose disciples, all right? The next day John was there again. This is 1 and verse 35. The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. Now this is John the Baptist now speaking. And when he saw Jesus passing, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He says, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent their day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Now Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. All right, so that's an interesting little scripture there. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. But you can see here what has happened as we go down a little bit. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God." Now have a think about that. These are fishermen. These are men, uneducated, but they understood the prophecy. They understood what Moses had spoken about thousands of years ago, that there would be one to come. And now they recognized him. They recognized Jesus. Then they followed him. And Jesus says to the others, "Come, follow me, and I will make you." Or I will make you, right? Not you will make you, but I will make you, all right? It's if we can start to come to terms with that, that it's Jesus who makes us. What is our role? Our role is, firstly, in the book of John, it goes a little bit further back. Jesus is speaking to the people. And the people are saying, "Jesus, what must we do?" All right? Because this is our natural man. Our natural man wants to know, what have we got to do? What have I got to do? And we want to do something. All right? It's not wrong. It's put in us. It's important. And we will do the things we need to do when we follow the supernatural. All right? Now, going back into that scripture, the people press Jesus and they say, "Jesus, what must we do?" And Jesus says, "This is the work that my Father requires, is that you believe in the one whom he sent." It's a different thing to our actions, isn't it? It's a different thing to going out and actually driving a nail or cutting a piece of wood or doing some kind of natural action to believe, all right? It's a tough thing to do, to believe in those things we can't even see. But that's what faith is, the substance of things unseen, all right? Operating in a different realm. We began in the Spirit. We were saved. We were brought supernaturally to a place of salvation. It's our role to continue in that, not go back. Now, getting back to my message, okay? All right, so 21, John 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. All right? But what's happened at this point is Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has been taken from them. He's gone out now, but he has been raised again and he has been seen. But the disciples at this point are probably a bit like us when things aren't going as we think they should be happening. All right? Is that we may have walked with Jesus. We may have done miracles with him. We may have had all of these things happen. But here now, they're feeling, what was the point? And what are they going to do? They're going to go back to the natural. And he says, I'm going fishing. I'm going out to fish. Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you, they said. How often in our lives are we like that? Is that we've walked with Jesus. We've had Jesus do things. We've had miracles occur around us. We can't explain it. We can't understand it, right? But then things start to stack up against us. A bit like that little video we were watching a sec ago. There's nice calm seas, and then it gets rough sometimes. These men, all right, just like us, right? Now, understand, this is Jesus' disciples, all right? This is not the average Joe Blow down the street. This is his disciples. These are the ones who earlier recognised Jesus from the prophets and from what Moses had spoken about. These men, right, they recognised that he was the Messiah, right? And they got him face to face. They got him, they can put hands on him. They've had amazing things happen, and yet now, bit like us maybe sometimes in our lives, they've said, I don't understand what's going on. I'll go back to what I know. And I encourage you today, don't go back to your fishing. Don't go back to what you know. Press in today. Press in and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I promised that I was going to just call on Joe, and he said it's all right. He said, you're allowed to pick on me. But I don't know whether everyone knows, but Joe likes to go out and look for gold. That's right, isn't it, Joe? All right? Go for gold. All right? Let's just give Ash a bit of a recognition too. I forgot. Congratulations. But Joe, how much gold have you ever found in your lounge chair? All right. Okay. Now, would it be fair to say, Joe, that to actually find gold, you actually have to go first and seek the gold? And you'll probably find it in the most out of the way, untouched, hard to get at sort of place. That's what seeking is, isn't it? All right. Seeking is putting some effort in, going to where the others aren't, looking for the gold, seeking it out, all right? Jesus says to us, if you will seek me, you will find me. If you will seek me. And then there's another scripture comes in, if you will diligently seek me, all right? I encourage you today. Firstly, it's not about whether you're going to pray. If you will seek Jesus, you will pray. If you will seek Jesus, you will read the word. If you will seek Jesus, you will see miracles. If you will seek Jesus and surrender yourself to his will. All right? I encourage you today is that hey, these past few years, I'm thinking, what is going on? Why aren't we seeing the manifestation of God in the house? I would encourage that you're probably like me, is that there's so many other things in the natural that take our time, that take our thinking, that take our effort, that take the time that we should be seeking after the Lord. And as these men went about, all right, let's have a look at what happens next here, is that Jesus now appears to them, but they didn't recognize him. If you have a look just a little further on in that scripture, it says here, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Because if we're not seeking him, if we're not understanding him, if we're not trying to find out who he is, we won't recognize him when he's there. These men had spent time with him. They've seen it all happen, and yet they did not recognize him. How much harder is it for us in this room, all right, with all the distractions, with all the things? You know, we might have the best life, all right? We might be blessed. We might be financially abundant. We might have more food than we can eat. We might have all of these things, all right? But we're actually being robbed of the thing we should be doing, and that's seeking Jesus, because it's his power. We had a beautiful song last week, and it was all we did was sing the name of Jesus, because it is the name of Jesus that has power and authority. We are called to be proclaimers of the name of Jesus. That is our role, proclaimers of the name of Jesus, bringing him into our lives, accepting his will for our lives, being directed by him. The natural will follow. The natural things will follow. I promise you, he says that. Going back to that scripture we looked at earlier, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will come to you, all right? Is that I'm going to encourage you, like me, is we need to focus differently. We need to focus in a different place, not in our actions, not about what we're going to do. And don't get me wrong, prayer is important, but it will come naturally when we seek the power and authority from the Father, power on, from on high. Let's have a look a little bit further here. Is he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. See what happens in our lives where Jesus is not being recognized and not available. We don't have the things that we ask for. All right? They're not there. The fish weren't there. They didn't have, in their own strength. Now, these are professional fishermen, all right? But in their own strength, they had nothing. They answer, no, we don't have anything. But now the supernatural steps back in. Jesus says to them, put your net over the other side. Are we ready to hear when Jesus speaks to us and says, put your net over the other side? Have we ears to hear, eyes to see what the Spirit would want to say to us? Okay, now look what happens. Because now Jesus has spoken. No, they answered. He says, well, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. I encourage you, be like these men. Hear from Jesus. Hear from the supernatural. Will we be able to explain it? Not at all. When this place is full of people that are here rejoicing and giving their lives over to Christ, will we be able to explain it? Will we be able to point out and go, that came because we started to do this in our strength? No, it will become because we give authority back to God to do what he does best. All right? That's what will change this world. All right? He is the answer to the world. We aren't. Okay? Now, as I say, don't get me wrong. There is still roles for us to play. But when our hearts are in line with his heart, then the things that need to happen come to pass. Let's move up just one bit further back up. A week later, now this is 20 and 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, now understand this is just before he's appeared to the men down at the fishing, all right? Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. That's a beautiful thing in itself. And then he said to Thomas, because we know this is where doubting Thomas comes from, don't we? Thomas, doubting Thomas, says, well, and Jesus says to him, put your finger here. See my hands? All right. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. All right. Don't worry about what's going on in the world. Don't doubt that Jesus has lost his authority. All right. Don't believe that lie. He still has all authority. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. I encourage you, that is us. Blessed are those who have not seen him. All right. But we will believe. I encourage you in that today. Will you believe in the one whom he sent? That is our role. All authority, all power has been given to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a whole different realm again. All right? Because these men, if we go back now to the fishermen on the side of the shore, at this point, the Holy Spirit has not yet come to these men. That will come just a few more pages along in the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit now comes. But if we have a look at this Peter, the fisherman that's standing here at this point, even though he's walked with Jesus, seen all the things, he even doubts. He still, you know, he'll go on, he'll deny Jesus and all sorts of things. But a little further along, the supernatural comes into play. The Holy Spirit comes. The disciples have been told, go and wait. Go and wait. Don't do anything, but wait until I imbue you with power from on high. That is where we sit today. That is where we're at. All right? If we will recognize and act and operate in the supernatural, the Spirit of God that has been given to all mankind for those who would believe on him. All right? What's that role for? Is that we might then go out and empower us for acts of service. What is the greatest service we're going to do? And that is to win a soul back to Christ. All right? There is nothing else that matters. Once a person comes to Christ, all right, they seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all the rest starts to unfold out of that. Is we think we're going to, you know, run a program or do this or do that. Yes, we will when the Holy Spirit moves you to do that. But when we're doing it in our own strength, it's just fishing on the wrong side of the boat. All right? Wait. The word is wait. Wait and allow the Holy Spirit to move you in the direction he wants you to go. Is with the confusion that goes on around us today, probably one of the other greatest things we'll do is just be still. All right? Now, I'm always encouraged by this, the word for today. If I can just pick up today's, speak life to their spirit. Surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. All right? The Lord's in this place all the time. All right? It's his house. All right? One of the greatest things Jules has done for this house is give authority back to God in his house. Not wanting to be the authority, but giving back the authority to the one who has. All right? We've all heard people say, the Lord told me, and it turned out not to be so. All right? As a result, we've become doubting, cynical. What a loss. God speaks through people, and your fear of someone getting it wrong can rob you of vital input. In some cases, the very input you need. One night, God appeared to Jacob in a dream, saying, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. And then Jacob awoke and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. That came from Genesis 28, 15 through 17. In order to hear from God, you must desire it above all else. Don't take my word on this. This is someone else's. This is a second opinion. Desire it above all else. Eliminate mental clutter. Slow down and take time to understand what he is saying to you and believe that God will actually speak to you. Isn't that pretty cool? Believe that he will speak to you. I loved it last week when Janie came up and just spoke to us about the dreams. Is that, you know, it's a confidence that if we believe, we will do what God asks of us, all right? And when we have this period of time, you know, where we ask to hear what God is speaking, I'm going to encourage you, believe. Believe in the one whom he sent, all right? Believe that that word that you have is important, and it is for you not to follow your will, and that's to stay seated, all right? But your will is submitted to his, and he wants you to bring that word to the front, all right? That's what he wants to do. If you don't believe, you'll be left to the mercy of your own best thinking or be influenced by others who think just like you. Seven times in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, God said, "He who has an ear, a spiritually developed one, let him hear what the Spirit says." The question is this: how can you know what you're hearing is actually from God? And then he answers that, saying, because it will always agree with his word and your spirit will say amen. And the disciples at on the road to Emmaus get to meet Jesus, and they don't even recognise when he's walking alongside them. And then he leaves and goes away. And then they then have a revelation, and they say, but didn't our hearts burn within us, you know, when Jesus was walking with them? And I know if you're like me, your heart burns. You know, at times you'll pick up the scriptures or something will happen around you and your heart will burn, all right? That's where we need to recognize that's the supernatural. That's the Spirit of God. That's Jesus in our lives. And all I'm suggesting to each one of us in this house is that if you will consider today what Jesus asks of us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's my encouragement to you today. Let's not depend on our own strength. What's required of you will come to pass when we submit ourselves and seek first the kingdom of God. All right? Put ourselves in his place. Accept his will. Jesus never did anything of his own will. All right? I encourage you, don't do anything of your own will. Don't think I've got to do this or this or this. Seek first what God wants to say to you. Seek first what he wants you to do. And then these things will come to pass. If we're going to see this house filled, right, we will see it filled. And we will see it come to pass. Not because Julie's wonderful. I know that she is. All right. But because she's submitted the authority of this church back to the one who can. And we, so Lord, we just want to close now. We just want to thank you, Father, that Lord, as we try and digest this word, Father, Lord, the supernatural happens around us. We sometimes don't even recognize it. But Lord, what we ask today is, Father, that you would help us learn to submit our will to yours, to surrender all these things of our own thinking and our own understanding to you, Father, that you might move in our lives, that you might give us spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking. Lord, we don't doubt that you've given us natural abilities, but Lord, we don't want to lean into those. We want to lean on what you bring to us. We want to lean, Father, on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who has overcome the spiritual darkness of sin over the heart of man. We want to lean and acknowledge you, Jesus, the one who rose again in new life, who brings new life. And we want to thank you, Father, Lord, that you have all things in control. And Father, when the storms come against us, that Father, we don't turn back to what we know, but Father, we turn back to you. And Lord, that's our desire in this house. I want to thank you, Father, for each and every man, woman and child in this place, Father, that, Lord, as we learn, Father, as we begin to seek you, diligently seek you, not from our lounge chairs, not from the comfort of those things around us, but, Lord, that we press in, we go and we seek you, we lift up your name, we become proclaimers of the name of Jesus, because it's in the power of the name of Jesus that all authority is set before us. And we give you glory, Lord. We praise you and thank you. Amen.